What's up, everybody? High Banks Podcast, episode 178. Alex and Nick with you. Last weekend, or well, I should say the last couple days here in September, heading into fall here. So, Nick, how you doing? Another week down as we head into fall here.
Yeah, man. Fall's officially here. Other than that, same old back here. Hopefully, you know, you're getting close to your special day coming up. Yeah. So I know that's going to be very exciting. I mean, you still got some stuff to take care of. So,
yeah, it's so, you know, some stuff, the major stuff, besides maybe one thing, you know, we still got to handle, but mostly everything else is pretty much, you know, done as far as major things go. So yeah, excited. Actually, you know, a little nervous now. I keep thinking about it.
Oh yeah, you're definitely gonna be a little nervous, but you hopefully more excited than nerves.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's weird to think that it's 2 weeks away. So
yeah, it comes up quick.
Yeah. So yeah, looking forward to it, and you know,
same.
We'll be there before you know it.
Yeah, it's gonna be, you know, sooner. Sooner rather than later, I'll be back up north celebrating your special day. So, man, I'm excited for you.
Yeah, next weekend you're coming up. So, it's getting real. So,
it's real.
But anyway, nothing really, you know, other than wedding stuff, nothing new really. Just, you know, usual work and all that kind of stuff. So, kind of a busy week though in NASCAR with some schedule announcements, some driver changing announcements, some selling of teams, you know, the whole nine. You know, I kind of had a little bit of everything, this past week. So I guess we'll just jump right into it. So AM Racing, who feels the 25 for Brett Moffitt in the Xfinity Series, is probably going to add another car for next season. And Haley Deegan's kind of been rumored here for that second car because they are a Ford team and she's a Ford driver. I would assume Brett Moffitt would be back. He's had a pretty decent year here. But what are your thoughts on that? Do you think Haley, you know, she hasn't really performed in the truck this year. Some decent runs here, some good qualifying runs as well, but overall not really a good year. Do you feel like she deserves this, or is this more of a money popularity play?
Yeah, it's more of a money sponsorship. Everybody's, you know, everybody, they think the trucks, they think Haley Deegan. So definitely bringing that onto your team would definitely benefit the rating wise and, get some sponsorship dollars in there. But on the performance aspect of it, there's definitely some better qualified candidates that I can think that would be more of a better option for them if they want to go towards that type of area of, you know, getting some quality finishes. Could be surprising, maybe get, you know, changes for the better if they bring her in. But for me, I think that there's better options if you want to, you know, try to contend a little bit in the Xfinity Series.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of agree. I think, you know, obviously she would bring a lot of revenue and, you know, that kind of stuff, which would be beneficial to that team. But I, you know, I kind of agree with you as far as I feel like there's better qualified drivers out there that have proven themselves more than, you know, she has over the last couple of years. So we'll see what happens with that whenever they announce their driver for there. So Stuart Haas, Ryan Preece is going to be back next year in the 41, and they confirmed that as well. So we'll hopefully he can have a better year next year than he did this year. I know Tony Stewart wanted Ryan Preece over kind of Cole Custer in that 41, and they kind of performed about the same. So we'll see. Now, another Stewart Haas thing, Eric Almirola, still don't know what's going on there. So Cole Custer could be back next year, in the Cup Series for Stewart Haas. So we'll, you know, obviously keep an eye on that. And I think that would be the easiest, you know, safest move for them.
Yeah, he's got the experience.
As far as the Cole Custer, yeah.
Yeah, more experience in Cup than anybody, especially with that team. Definitely makes sense.
Yeah, so we'll have to keep an eye on, you know, what Almirola does. We already know Josh Berry's in a car for Stuart Haas replacing Harvick. And I think Briscoe, you know, he's on a multi-year kind of deal there as well. So they're going younger now, which most teams, you know, obviously are. So we'll have to see how they do next year and see what happens with Custer. Let's see. In the trucks, Daniel Dye will be moving with the 43 truck since GMS is shutting down at the end of the year. He'll be moving to Bill McAnally Racing, which fields the 19 and 35. Christian Eckes and Jake Garcia, who both have had great years. Christian Eckes, obviously a championship contender this year. So I think that might be a, you know, step in the right direction for Daniel too. We'll have to see, you know, obviously if it's going to be a three-team, you know, three-truck team, so to speak. So I think they could be strong, you know, moving, you know, into next year and the year after.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Definitely a little more experience coming in next year. Definitely a larger team would be a better advantage. So I think that there'd be more upcoming great pitches for them starting next year.
Yeah, so obviously we know what they can do this year with Eckes being as good as he has and Jake Garcia obviously doing pretty well himself, you know, his first full-time season. So I guess the wildest one would be Sammy Smith taking the open ride at Junior Motorsports, so leaving Joe Gibbs. And Sammy Smith will be in the A car next year with Pilot Flying J as the sponsor. And, you know, years ago, that was Michael Annette's sponsor with Junior Motorsports. So familiar, kind of familiar territory with, you know, the sponsorship side and the ownership side. But I don't know if it surprised you, Nick, but it was a little surprising. You know what happened there. I guess he was a free agent at the end of the year. I don't know. Or, you know, Junior just kind of plucked him away. I don't know.
Junior loves young, talented drivers, and we've seen this time in and time out of JR. So I'm not totally surprised by the move, given how good of a year Sammy has, and with not many years in the series. So that definitely piqued his interest. And yeah, number eight's obviously a great ride. He's going from a good car to another good car, but to, I think, a better, in my opinion, a better franchise, better team. So I think that he'll do a lot better in that ride than he would have with Joe Gibbs in the 18.
Yeah, well, when you think about it here, Joe Gibbs, they go through drivers left and right. Nobody ever really has any security besides the guys on the Cub level.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about it, you know, it's going to be kind of interesting to see what Joe Gibbs Racing does. John Hunter's leaving to go to the 42 next year. And now Sammy Smith's leaving to go to Junior Motorsports. So it'd be kind of interesting. They kind of got all open territory, you know, JGR next year. So we'll have to see what they do with that. But I think Sammy Smith, you go to a team with Sam Mayer, who's young, got his first win or wins this year. Brandon Jones, who left, another JGR guy who left there and went to Junior Motorsports, will be back again. And then you got obviously the veteran Justin Allgaier, who I think helps all these young guys coming in as like a mentor kind of thing while winning races and being a championship four contender himself. I agree with you there. I think it'll help Sammy Smith and, you know, be able to perform and, you know, which he, it's not like he hasn't this year. He won way back in the spring at Phoenix. So we'll see, you know, how he performs, obviously, but kind of interested to see where JGR goes as far as drivers and everything next year. But some drivers doing some one-offs here. Oh, well, here's the bigger one. KBM, Kyle Busch Motorsports, is selling the truck team to Spire. So we already know Spire bought the charter from Live Fast, and you know they're going to be running with Zane Smith in the Cup side next year. And that was for like 40 mil. So they have a money. I think they're more than just a race team. They're like a sports management, and you know they got other ventures. But I feel, oh, here it is. I didn't even see how much, but now I see how much. Around 25 million, Nick.
Okay.
So they bought, yeah, they bought the shop, all the assets, Rowdy Manufacturing, pretty much everything. You know, they bought. Now KBM will finish under the KBM banner this year, which has kind of been a down year for them, besides when Kyle's been in the truck. But I don't know, Nick. I guess, you know, Kyle's kind of hanging it up on that aspect. Obviously, it's a big payday. Yeah, big payday for him and everything.
Well, starting out as how small it was back, right. What was it, 2010? 2010 is when he established it. And it wasn't much at the time, but you saw the progression and how good that he was able to make this team grow and to sell it for that much return.
Right.
And you have nothing to prove in that. In
yeah.
That you've done enough. I think you finally realized that and said, look, I'm going to get... I did enough on it. Let me take it to somebody who will utilize it and put it in another good direction as I did, and just focus more on the cup aspect for the years I have left.
Right. And I think, you know, he had kind of mentioned it was the right time because, you know, he has two kids now. Obviously, his oldest son, Braxton, races all over just like he does. So demanding schedule there. But everyone was kind of thinking that, you know, when Braxton was old enough that he would drive a truck for his dad, and they could kind of race side by side. But obviously, yeah, that could still happen.
I was gonna say it's still possible that yeah. There could be something along the lines once he gets young. Once he gets to that age, he'll have a part deal with somebody, and now he'll do some select races whenever that is. Long time from now, still, but yeah. Yeah, he always talked about that. He wanted to race with his son. I don't know if that's going to come to fruition, but it definitely would be a crazy thing to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the only father-son combo we've seen that I can – well, obviously Junior and Senior.
Junior and Senior.
The Nemechek's, John Hunter and Joe. Mm-hmm.
We had the Elliots for the SRX, but that's
kind of an off
one, but still.
And the Blaney's in the SRX. Blaney's.
Even if he gets to the age, you know, he gets into his late 40s, he still can do select races.
He's not even 40 yet.
Yeah, so. I don't know how old Brex, he's what, 10 or 11 now or something like that? I don't remember.
I don't know if he's that old yet.
I know he's doing go-karts, but that's...
Yeah, he's doing like the
dirt race. Go-karts young, yeah. But I'm just thinking ballpark. Got to be anywhere between like 8 to 10 years old.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
So he's still, so he could still be under contract at that time, but it's... I don't know. Only time will tell.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll have to see what happens. But after this year, you know, Spire will be taking over KBM. And, you know, we'll have to see how they do as far as next year. They've had a truck. We've seen it go to Victory Lane before. So we'll have to see, you know, either who they tap as a driver and, you know, on down the list. But some other drivers doing kind of one-offs. Jordan Taylor will race at the Rover for Kaulig. His second start, he raced for them in Portland. Mike Rockenfeller will be in the 42 at the Roval as well. There was something else. This weekend at Talladega, Chandler Smith will be in the 25 truck with Matty D out, and Brett Moffitt will be in a second truck for front row at Talladega in the 34 truck, which he used to drive for them in the Cup side. So kind of a throwback there to when they were together back in the day. Raja Carruth would be making another Xfinity start. I think this one kind of interests me, but Boris said he'll be driving the 17 for Hendrick at the Roval. Roger Carruth will be driving the 17 at Phoenix in the finale in the Xfinity series. So I kind of, my thinking is that Hendrick wants to see what Raja can do here because he's raced some Xfinity races with Alpha Prime. Obviously the 17 Hendrick is probably a lot better car. So I wonder, you know, and he's raced well in the trucks. He's ran up front in some races this year, kind of with some bad luck and wrecks and everything else, kind of, you know, taking himself out. But I think this might be an audition for something.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Definitely ability to go out there with a solid ride, get a good finish, hopefully, and open some eyes and see if this is someone you can look for your future into next year, possibly, or at least, you know, do select races or something. You just never know.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, I like Raja. He's, you know, one of my favorite truck guys. I liked him when he was in the ARCA series as well. I think he, you know, got a hell of talent, you know, but obviously with the young guys, we know aggression can get, you can get in over your head. And
that's what his, he hurts himself more than he hurts others.
Right.
And that can be your downfall. You have so much pressure and you're trying to do so much that you do a little too much and it costs you exponentially when it comes to races. That's just, we see it all the time. It's
right. Yeah. Bad. Especially with the young guys. So hopefully, you know, he can have a good run. We'll have to see where he lands because he's one of the drivers with GMS that is no longer after this year. So we'll have to see. And Nick, I guess I forgot to say, we'll have to see what happens with Chase Purdy and Jack Wood next year as well. They were under the KBM banner this year. So we'll have to see what happens there. And Nick Sanchez, KBM Alliance. With Rev Racing in the trucks. We'll have to see kind of what happens with those three as well. But so we got some schedule updates. So North Wilkesboro will return for the All-Star race. They're going to repave it. I don't know. And I mean, I get the history, but the racing was not good, I don't think, at all.
I'll give it a shot with the repave and see how, if it does any, it's an All-Star race. I don't put it on those huge pedestals. And if it sucks, I'm like, you know, oh, they should never race here. It's whatever. It's one of those fun races. It's fun. Yeah, it's fun. Really, if it's not, yeah. I do want it to be a little more exciting, obviously. Don't get me wrong, but it's not like Texas or something where I, you know, dreaded.
Which was actually halfway decent last week.
So. Yeah, I can't. It could have been a lot worse. We've seen. Yeah. So, definitely was, you know, entertaining.
Yeah, but we'll get into that in a minute here. The other one was Dale Jr. mentioned that the Roval might be going, them going back to two oval races at Charlotte, which is, you know, all right. This one was the biggie for me. Indianapolis going back to the Brickyard 400 on the oval next year on the 30-year anniversary. So Xfinity Series will also be on the oval next year as well. So, Nick, that's the one I'm most excited about for right now. We'll have to see when the whole schedule comes out. But that one, from the time I found out they weren't doing it, I was kind of upset, you know, the whole way, you know, now it's back. So I'm excited about that
one. I'm on the fence, to be honest. I watching Indy courses back in the day, they bored the hell out of me.
Well,
the road courses weren't sometime much better. I just liked a little more of a road course in there. If they can fix the packaging and make it a little more exciting, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I want the racing to be good or better than it's kind of been. But overall, I'm happy about that one. Like the Coliseum, North Wilkesboro, they don't really excite me. the Charlotte news, maybe going back there to two oval races. All right. Now, I am happy Bristol's on the concrete for both.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that one I am, you know, happy about too. But, you know, that pretty much wraps it up for this week as far as, you know, stuff that's been going on, which, you know, we told you it's been kind of a lot. So, let's see here. All right, so Texas last week, kind of tough break here. Justin Allgaier was pretty dominant in this race, won both stages, and then kind of couldn't get going, ran a little high, got in the marbles, kind of ruined his day there. Not really ruined, but out of the running for the win. John Hunter Nemechek took advantage, got the win, his sixth on the year. So kind of tired of, you know, putting him on the Instagram page. But, you know, that was kind of that one year when Larson won 10 of them. So, John Hunter, obviously title contender here. Parker Kligerman was second, Sammy Smith third, Chandler Smith fourth, Allgaier fifth, Cole Custer sixth, Austin Hill seventh, Sheldon Creed eighth, Brandon Jones ninth, and Brent Moffitt rounded out the top 10. So mostly playoff drivers in here besides ninth and 10th. So good run for all these playoff guys. And John Hunter moves himself to the next round. And Nick, he's locked in. Allgaier's locked in. So one of them two looked like they were going to win the race. Now, Parker Kligerman, Nick, he was close. I think John Hunter had a little fresher tire there at the end, but he had a run at it there.
Yeah, he did. I feel like the Allgaier thing kind of messed him up a little bit as well. Definitely fresher tires and having that ability to get through traffic like that, I think helped John Hunter win it long term. Still a solid win for Parker coming second. I know he's still under the gun to get the playoffs, but it definitely makes you feel like you have a solid chance going into next week.
Yeah. Now, obviously, he's good at the speedways. Well, they're actually out racing at the speedway, so I'm sorry. So just trucks and cup at Talladega this week. But back to the standings, Nick, you had mentioned he's right at the bubble there. It's minus one. Daniel Hemric, plus one. But the junior motorsports guys, Josh Berry, Sam Mayer, pretty much in a must-win here. Jeb Burton kind of on the fence there too, and they're going to the Roval for their cut race. I believe it's their cut race.
It is a cut race.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a toughie here. You know, we know guys above the cut line are, you know, Parker's good on road courses, obviously. Cole Custer's won twice this year on road courses. So there's guys, you know, ahead of those junior motorsports guys and Jeb Burton that, you know, have got it done this year. But Cole Custer looks pretty good, plus 63. Even Austin Hill at plus 44 and Chandler Smith plus 32. I would say they're looking pretty good, barring any major incidents. Then you have Sammy Smith plus 18, Sheldon Creed plus 9. And like I said, Daniel Hemric plus 1. So close down at the cut line, 6th through, we'll say 10th. Lot can happen there. And they are not racing this week. Like I said, they'll be October 7th at the Roval. You know, so we make a multiple picks that week, Nick. So wait for you to get even closer here as we wind it down. So moving on to the cup side from Texas. Speaking of six wins, William Byron got the win here, his sixth win as well. That might have been John Hunter's seventh.
I think it was six. I'm pretty sure it was six.
Yeah. So, Nick, Texas, we always kind of kill it. You know, it wasn't terrible this past week. You know, it wasn't terrible. So a lot of cars got involved in wrecks, though, as far as, well, not a lot as far as playoff, but a handful. Blaney got caught up in an accident. Larson and Kyle Busch you know, all didn't finish the race. So that kind of hurt Blaney and Kyle Busch the most because of, you know, the lack of playoff points going into this round. You know, so we'll have to see how they do. I know Kyle Busch won earlier this year at Talladega. Blaney's won there a couple times. And Larson, not really his forte at the Super Speedway. So we'll have to see what he can do. Like I said, William Byron got the win. Ross Chastain second. Bubba Wallace third. Christopher Bell fourth. Denny Hamlin fifth. Kevin Harvick sixth. Brad Keselowski seventh. Daniel Suarez eighth. Ricky Stenhouse ninth. And Chase Briscoe rounded out the top 10. So mixed bag here, playoff, non-playoff. But I guess the most important would be William Byron in the playoffs, locks himself in to the round of eight. Nick, we kind of, even though William Byron's won so many times this year, we kind of really haven't talked about, can he get over that hump to the championship four and possibly win it?
There's no indication in my book saying that he can. He's definitely got the ability to win in multiple tracks, which is what you need in these playoff instances, given the circumstances, how they like to mix them up. He just stays out of trouble. I mean, yeah. he really stays, he keeps it solid. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't do too much. He's fortunate to not get involved with much. And if he doesn't win, he's actually at least in a solid position where he doesn't lose much.
Right.
So I think he's probably one of the top four in my book right now. That was even before the playoffs. I think that he was one of those that he's done enough this year to solidify himself as one of the top four. I feel like that could get there.
Yeah. So before we go over the standings here. So our picks from Texas. You went with Kevin Harvick and finished sixth. I went with my guy Blaney, finished 28. So you got me there, 23-18, heading to Talladega. So doing one pick this week, and then we're doing two next week, with the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series at the Roval. So, you know, if you get this one,
it's coming.
Then you're only two back.
Yeah.
So, but this is the last road course. So, you got to make a count on there.
Yeah.
But the Twitter poll, Nick, was Texas a good race? Did you think so?
Compared to other races, are we comparing it to other races or Texas races? That's the biggie.
Well,
it was one of the better Texas races, okay, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, we'll go off of that. 67% said yes. 33% said no. So kind of a, you know, mixed bag, obviously, but I don't know. You know, kind of surprised it was 67 yes. I was thinking maybe it'd be a little closer to 50-ish, but you know. Yeah, but I agree with you. I think it was one of the better Texas races out of the previous years. But we do know that the mile and a half program has been better with this new car anyway. So that's probably part of it as well. So, Nick, the standings for them heading into Talladega, William Byron locked himself in. Other than that, though, I mean, obviously, Talladega is a barn burner. Anybody can get caught up in anything. so I would say even Denny Hamlin at plus 37, if he gets caught up in a wreck in the first stage or something, could be kind of, you know, hurt his shot for now. It's only the second race of this round of playoffs. So, yeah, by the cut line, though, Kyle Busch minus 17 here in last. Ryan Blaney minus 11, Tyler Reddick minus 3, Bubba minus 2. You have Kyle Larson, Nick, plus 2. And like we said, he's not what we think
he's
of
not the Kyle, speed, but he's not the Kyle Larson of old. He's definitely hit a stint this year where it's not all clicking. It's
checkers or wreckers.
That's a good way of describing it, exactly.
So I don't know. Obviously, he's decent at road courses, so he still has the Roval coming up as well. But yeah, I mean, like I said, below the cut line deck. So we have Kyle Busch, like I said, who won here earlier this year. Blaney, who has a couple wins here. Bubba, who's good at these kind of tracks and who's been fast this past month or so since the playoffs started. All have a damn good shot to win here, coming from below the cut line. Obviously, above the cut line, Denny, Buescher, Brad, Ross won this race last year, are good at these kind of tracks. So, it's kind of like take your pick. It really is when it comes down to this. Then you got to throw the non-playoff guys in it. McDowell, Stenhouse are good at these tracks. Logano's always aggressive at these tracks. So even guys that aren't in the playoffs anymore, still obviously have a shot to get it done. But yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's really safe here. Obviously, besides William Byron. Now if you get past the first two stages, score stage points. And put yourself in a good position there that you might be able to afford a little bit. If you're Denny,
you're going to see that a lot if you're
yeah.
the Denny's or the Bushers, but maybe not even Busher. I think Denny's the only one you could really factor in that if he gets
Yeah.
a good solid first stage, he could probably just lay back and not
Yeah.
have to, gets in the top five. He can be non-aggressive and non-existent and kind of just back off. And let
Yeah.
everybody else duke it out.
Yeah, not like push. And we've always seen Denny kind of lay in the bag. Then at the end, he's like there. So you can pull one of them out of the bag too.
Yeah, it's possible he could secure, he could go either way. He could either back off and not worry about it, or he could say, "Oh, I've already clinched. I got nothing to lose," and just go at it. Like it depends on which approach he wants to go about it.
Yeah, so
But
we'll see what goes on there on the Cup side at Talladega at Sunday at 2 o'clock, pretty early. So thank God, 1 o'clock for you guys. 188 laps, 500 miles on NBC. The rest of the year is on NBC. No more USA for this season. So every race will be on NBC. So weather's looking good for Talladega this weekend. The trucks are also there Saturday at 1 o'clock on FS1. 100 laps, 250 miles. We'll have to see how they do. They're now Nick. They're starting to get to the end here. They got two races left, three races left, including Talladega. They got Talladega, Homestead, Miami, and then Phoenix. So two more races before their final four is set. And Corey Heim already locked himself into the championship four. You still have Christian Eckes, Carson Hocevar, Grant Effinger above. Zane Smith, Ben Rose, Nick Sanchez, Ty Majeski below. So what do you think here, Nick? Obviously, it's Talladega. I say Corey Heim kind of just doesn't really care as much, already being locked in. But I feel like obviously we know Ben Rhodes is aggressive. And Nick Sanchez is always fast on the super speedways. Zane Smith, hitter has won at Daytona back to back years. Obviously, Carson, the young guys, Carson and Christian are aggressive as well. So anything can happen here, Nick. I mean, what else is there to say, really?
Yeah, it's stay out of trouble and make sure your opponents are the ones that are behind you, kind of, and you have a good day.
Yeah, I mean that's really it. Just hope you're not involved in something and no mistakes on pit road.
Yeah, that's the other it says so.
That going forward, then you got Miami after that. Ty Majeski won that race last year, so him being 22 behind the cut line and last, tied with Nick Sanchez, he might be going into a must win at Miami. So we'll have to keep an eye on that, obviously. after this weekend. But like I said, Talladega Saturday, 1 o'clock on FS1 for the Trucks, and Sunday at 2 o'clock on NBC for the Cup Series. And Nick, as we go to the picks here, who are we thinking here, Nick? So we got a couple new faces this week. Carson Hocevar is still in the 42 for Legacy Motor Club. Riley Herbst will be in a third car for Front Row in the 36. The Beast Unleashed on that ride, Nick. Brendan Poole in the 15. And Chandler Smith will be in the third calling car this weekend in the 13. So other than that, everything's the same. Any ideas here, Nick? Playoff guy, non-playoff guy?
I could go either or. It's one or two playoff guys I'm looking at, and then one or two non-playoff guys I'm looking at. So I would give the baton off to you, and if you want to make your selection first, see what I'm working with here.
All right, so we've both kind of been trying not to pick people who've already picked.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least for the playoff guys. So I went with Blaney last week, so that kind of takes him off the table for me this week. I kind of have this feeling that it's going to be a non-playoff guy to give us more like the points, you know, battle. But, you know, I don't know. I could be going out on a limb here. I'm going to go with Eric Almirola to get it done. Okay. I'm going to say non-playoff guy, Eric Almirola to get it done at Talladega.
I might shoot myself here, but because of the momentum that he has going into this race and being one of his best tracks, I'm going to take a stab. I'm going to take Bubba here.
Okay. He was kind of clicking, but I picked him already. I think I picked him already in these playoffs.
Yeah. I don't know. I should probably written yours down next to mine to see, but
yeah, let's go back here real quick and look.
I knew Bubba I didn't pick
him. Bristol. I went with Buescher, you went with KB. Yeah, Kansas, I picked Bubba.
Oh,
You picked Byron. And then I picked Ross, you picked Truex at Darlington. And then obviously Harvick. You picked Harvick, I picked Blaney.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're still on the not picking doubles here.
Yep.
All right, so you're gonna go with, I forgot already, Bubba Wallace, and I'm gonna go with Eric Almirola, non playoff guy. So we'll have to see what goes on there. He's always good at these tracks too, so
yeah, you can't count him out.
Yeah, so we'll have to see. Can't count anybody out.
Really. Well, yeah, for that matter, you really can't. Yeah. But you definitely have the star over the ones that have multiple abilities to get up there and do well, and to win here, obviously, is a big.
Well, yeah.
At any super speedway, if you win, you definitely got that star over your head to go, okay, you definitely are the one most people are going to look out for.
Yeah, so obviously, we'll see how it goes here. Like I said, I think weather is looking good for Talladega. Usually, there's kind of some issues this time of year down there. But I think it's supposed to be good all weekend, so that's a plus. We were supposed to, you know, have Mason Maggio, part-time Xfinity, part-time truck series driver on the show this week. But unfortunately, Nick, you and I were just too busy with, you know, different stuff to get him on earlier this week. So hopefully maybe next week we kind of figure it out you know, have him on. So he's still willing to be on the show. So that's always a plus too.
Yeah. Yeah. Want to have him on.
Yeah.
Definitely going to eventually get him on by the end of the year.
Yeah. So hopefully next week, if not next week, hopefully, you know, sometime, like you said, before the end of the year. And then obviously kind of towards the end of the season here, the next month or so, have Jacob on again to see what he thinks of Harvick's last season throughout the playoffs and everything like that. So Nick, that's about it. So do you have anything else to add?
No, I don't. We covered it all.
Yeah, we did covered a lot, covered it all.
Covered a lot today.
So it seems like this time of year, more announcements, you know, happen more often.
Yeah. Just waiting for the big one.
Huh?
Just waiting for the big one coming up.
Wait, what's that?
Schedule.
Well, schedule. Yeah, hopefully that's in the next week or so. We can dive into that. Even though we've already seen some changes with the same track. But anyway, so Talladega this week, we'll be back next week to recap the Roval, or preview the Roval, as a cut race for the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series. So make sure you follow Twitter, _Banks_, Instagram, _Banks_podcast. And mention Jacob Jones. Don't forget to check out his music wherever you listen to music. So hopefully everybody has a good weekend. Enjoy the racing, football, baseball, down to our last weekend. Phillies in the playoffs, second year in a row. So I got it on. Dancing on my own, you know, bringing through the house and all that. So got kind of a little bit of everything going on. So if nothing else, Nick, I guess we'll talk to these people next week.